But we start things off this evening with a program that has had a lot of success. Two out of the last 3 years, state titles. They've put out numerous players throughout the years. And certainly this year, they came up winners again in the state championship game, beating Mulberry 6-1. And I'm talking about American Heritage Plantation. Head coach Bruce Avin is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, first of all, congratulations. And I'll tell you what, you can't stay away from this game. That's my first thought. I mean, you could be the athletic director and cover every other sport, but I think when it comes to baseball, that's a fondness for you, and certainly your love for the game the last couple of years, taking back over the program. What's it like again? You know, I mean, you're getting back on that horse, you're winning. You have a team this year that obviously, lost six games, but certainly played a really challenging schedule. And down the stretch, you guys put it all together, beat Panama City, beat Arnold in the in a thrilling game in the state semis, and then beat Mulberry 6-1. What's it like to be back in the saddle and then being around this great game?
Oh, I think about it a lot. You know, Larry, you and I talk a lot on the sidelines in the football games about baseball. And it seems to be something that, for me, it's just I've never been able to get away from it. It's part of my life. It's who I am. It's what I've done. And if I try to do some other things, I just can't get away from it. It's part of who I am. And I just got to embrace it and keep going and doing it. Exciting year for these guys. My kids, most of them were seniors. Some of them been on the team for 3 years. They've had a chance to go to a state championship. They felt the taste of a losing, and they felt the taste of winning. And, losing, lasts for a long time. Winning, is good for a night. And then you rebuild and start thinking about next year and how you do it again. And I think the sting from last year, got to these kids, and we actually started earlier this year. We started when football started. So I thought it'd be a good idea that if I have to be out there for football every day, then I'll start lifting and training. And our kids started lifting weights the day that football season started. And we started putting on some muscle and training. And that sting losing to the Tampa Jesuit really got our kids. And they have a mindset of winning that, they're not selfish. This is a unique team. You never hear anybody talk about stats or where they're hitting in the lineup. I haven't had a parent meeting in 2 years. Parents just back off, and that's rare. You don't have that very often. These kids are just out there to play the game, and to be around that in this generation is rare. And my coaches were outstanding. My coaching staff obviously had to help and pick me up a lot because of all the requirements I have to be the athletic director of American Heritage. And so a very exciting year for us.
Yeah. You know, last week I talked to Fitz and Coach Wardlow from St. Thomas, and we had them on the show. And the one thing that they say about, and I guess every coach does, but the schedule that you play down here, I mean, more than prepares you. I mean, you look at the games, you talk about, the Doral Academies and playing Jupiter, a team who was in the state final and took Douglas all the way down to the wire, obviously. North Broward Prep, who's always in the mix. Gibbons, Bishop Vero. Talk about that, because, I mean, Matter Academy, you also played. You beat them twice. And that's a really good team. I was talking to Coach Ben Como last week, and he brought that up, and, talking about the talent level that is South Florida, maybe even the state, but mostly South Florida, that's got to get you ready.
It has to get you ready because you play them every night. And then with the change of schedule, they shorten up the season, best 2 out of 3 in the playoffs. You have to have more people ready. You used to be able to ride a pitcher, maybe 2 pitchers, and get through some games. But we played that schedule, and everybody else plays that schedule. We all play each other. So all the guys down here with the better teams, we're going to take some losses because we're playing each other. And there may be a day that we play, where our ace threw the night before, and we have to throw our number 2 or 3 against their ace. And you just have to figure out a way to win it and start to play baseball. And I like it. I don't like when you can just run through a season and make errors and not do things right and win games. Right. You make errors, and you should it should cost you, and then it has. You know, we had situations this season where we had six losses, and then those six losses, there was things that we did to ourselves that we didn't get done to win those games, and it makes you a better team. We Mulberry had two guys, you know, they had not two guys, but they had some guys out there that had great seasons. I just don't think they play the competition that we play down in South Florida.
Right.
And so it prepares us a little bit better than other teams. We don't panic as much. We see more pitching, different styles of pitchers, you know, left-handers that are all speed, guys that throw 92, 94, 96. So when we get up there and we face a guy and they have a guy who's, you know, got, you know, nine strikeouts a game and he's throwing 93, well, 93 is not odd for us. We've seen that a lot. So it becomes more of a norm than, oh, he's throwing 93. So when you play in South Florida, and not even just South Florida, I mean, we all make the trips up to, you know, to the Fort Myers area. We all make the trips up the, you know, we all travel a little bit, even on Wednesdays and Thursdays night, just to get that good competition. But like I said, sometimes we play each other two or three times a season just to get the reps in.
I mean, and you, I mean, no matter who you talk to, I mean, in this year, South Florida set a record with five state champions and outstanding, you know, when you talk to a lot of the coaches who are involved in it, and they say the same thing. Now, down the stretch, you were really strong, especially in your last four games. You were pitching strong. You gave up three runs in the last, what, four games in the state championship game. The kid Alleman and Montiel and Santos all combined, you know, in that game. Were you the type of team this year that kind of, you know, maybe used two and three pitchers a game, didn't have somebody go all the way because maybe there was a big game coming up and you wanted to save them, save the arm a little bit? Or were you just let, you know, you just by game, you just let the pitcher go and see how he was throwing. And if he was throwing strong, you know, you just let him alone.
No, we were a guy that had used the house. One of our better pitchers, Talon, Holiday, who's been the mainstay as far as the ace for the last 3 years, really. He had a groin pull. We lost him for about 5 weeks, and then he came back and had another groin pull. And luckily for us, because the playoffs were as long as they were, we were able to heal him up and get him back out there. So we had five, six pitchers step in, you know, from the Alamans to the Garros, the Duvicks, Montes, Santi. We had it all. Enrique, Kike, we had them all. I mean, you name it, we threw them, and everybody got innings. Everybody got work. We had people that got experienced by competing in games and one run games. And, you know, we had to use them, and it gave us that experience to get better at the end. I mean, we're sitting there going in and you go into the state. You know, we're just talking about the last four games. We can go back to the last 14 games. I think we averaged less than two runs a game. Our pitchers gave up less than two runs a game. And our hitters had an unbelievable season. I think they were putting up an average of seven runs a game. And with you know, our full-time baseball player, Jordan Rich, he got through with football and he's retired from football and came out to us. He stole 38 bases.
Damn.
38 bases. The team stole 112, so 38 from JR. We have another kid, Castro, who stole 23. But JR was just amazing. I mean, his season was outstanding, hit seven home runs, RBIs. He was a catalyst. But, you know, we had other kids on there too. So just having the combination of having guys who can manufacture runs and, you know, we were a great team of competing to win. We came up with a big hit. We did the things. Some people say to win a championship, you got to do all the little things. Well, we were awful at bunts. I mean, man on first, second, move them over. Oh, man, not going to happen. We practiced it. We trained it. We did everything. But luckily for us, we had a team batting average of like 330, 335. One through nine could hit. So we just had to say, hey, we got here because we can hit, and that's what we have to do to win. And the pitching, like I said, stepped up less than two runs a game for the last 14 games, and our defense was solid. And so we never reached our full potential either. I wish this season could have went another 10 or 15 games to see what this team really could have been, because I think we got better at the second half than we did the first half, because guys started finding their roles, what they were good at, how they could contribute to the team. And we had a little bit more that we could go. I'd love to see this team play another 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Well, I'm sure they're going to start playing, but they're going to be playing at the next level. You talk about Rich. I had the pleasure of watching him in football and covering his dad when he was at American High School, and a great football player. They had told me early on that his best sport was baseball. He could fly. He's a great center fielder. He hits really well. Talk about him. I mean, because he's got to be draftable at this point.
He's definitely draftable. He's a kid that came in, and I would tell you, it shocked us in football, you know, because you know how close I am to the football team and the athletic director. He walked in the day before, probably the week before the season started, and said, I'm going to decommit from college, so I'm not going to go to UConn and play football and baseball. He had a dual scholarship. He said, I want to go 100% and train 100% for baseball. And we were all kind of like, are you making the right decision? We don't know. Only JR knows that. And when I'm telling you, he made the right decision. He is a baseball player, true and true. Not to say that, you know, there's a lot of athletes that can, you know, he's athletic. There's a lot of JRs in football. There's not a lot of JRs in baseball. So to see that pure speed, to see the instincts out there, to read, you know, to read the ball off the bat, he has great instincts. He's just not a football player. And I think with him getting a chance to concentrate on it, he just got better and better. And he turned himself into a draft guy. I mean, you got probably 5, 6, 7 guys out there that really, really like him. And I got scouts that are talking to me constantly about, you know, where they're potentially looking to draft him in this year's draft. Now, will that get him out of college or not? That's going to be up to him. But at least he put himself in that position.
Yeah, no, he did. Bruce Haven joins us, head coach at American Heritage Plantation, wins the state championship. And, you know, you talk about that, and you look at some of the great football players over the time that went to baseball. Darnell Coles comes to mind. You know, he was going to go to UCLA to play football as a running back, ended up and had a really good major league career. You take a look at, you know, some like Stanton. I mean, Stanton was being recruited by a lot of you know, teams because of his size, and obviously a great football player that transitioned to baseball. I mean, there's a ton of them. Obviously, throughout the years, you've had an opportunity to see a lot of them. I mean, the thing that just keeps going back to my mind is how your team doesn't bunt, and all the great managers that you've played for over the years, they would have multiple gray hairs if you couldn't.
Oh,
bunt.
My I mean, God.
I can imagine sweat. Jack McKee
in
that.
Sweat. I would sweat when we get into position. Like, oh, my God, we got a bunt here. I mean, I tell you, we were just awful. And the kids worked. It wasn't that it worked. Our coaches worked. Right. I mean, I had an unbelievable coaching staff. And we worked. We would go over it. We would train them. We would talk about it. And then it would come to execute it. Oh, we were awful. You know, you need luck on your side. And for us, we were lucky that we were a great hitting team. Defense, we were great. So we were really good at a lot of things. But, man, it got down to that one-run game. We were going to have to get the hit to win it, because we weren't going to be that team that's going to manufacture a run by getting on and bunting them over. And, you know, it just wasn't us. For us, it worked great because – how good they were. They were very good hitters that, you know, they could, you know, handle the bat. They weren't free swingers. So, you know, there were some pluses to it, but man, I'm going to tell you just kept thinking it was going to get you sooner or later. And luckily for us, it didn't.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, you talk about small ball, a lot of teams win with small ball. I mean, it's obviously, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, watching Earl Weaver all those years, you know, I mean, if you had Eddie Murray coming up and you couldn't set the table, nobody could bunt and get somebody over. I mean, you know, obviously he'd be smoking 10, 12 packs of cigarettes. But this game obviously has evolved in such a way where you had those playoffs this year. You know, I remember, I guess it was about 15, 20 years ago, they tried that. I believe they tried that in high school where they had, you know, at best 2 out of 3. What, do you like that? I mean, because you were talking about, obviously, if you have one pitcher, it benefits you. But if you have to go three games and you don't have those three arms or maybe two plus arms, you may not be as effective. How did it work out for you? I mean, did you like that because you had a couple of arms?
I loved it. I loved it, and I loved it for multiple reasons. One, you had to manage a little bit more because you had to determine, you know, pitch counts. You know, do you need to pull this guy out and save him for game three? Do you need to hold on to this guy in case you have a game three? If you use this guy right now, you burn him and he's not available for tomorrow. So right. it made the game fun. I enjoyed it. I love the managing side of it. I love the chess playing, not the checkers. And, you know, sometimes in the other games, you're looking up there and they got a dude over there and he's going to go seven innings and that's it. Doesn't matter. There ain't no, you know, strategy to it. There's no, sure. You know, double switches like you do, you know, where we played. And so sometimes it is what it is. But in this, best two out of three, you could also have a bad day and come back and still win it. And or like Belen did. Belen got hot toward the end of the season and came and knocked off some really, really good teams. So it does give you an opportunity that, you know, Tampa Jesuit was a great one. Tampa Jesuit lost their first game, I think, of the season. They would have been eliminated. To not have Tampa Jesuit in the playoffs would have been a shame. So, the next two games, I think they mercy ruled the team. But this is why you play the best two out of three, just that, you know, we're not a sport that can just manhandle because you have the top three or four athletes. If you're a football team, you can just keep paying it to the running back, and they can't stop it. They can't stop it. My guy I may have the best guy. I may have a Tristan Costas on the team, and you can walk him four times, and he's not a part of the game. That's just the way it works. You know, and he can be a great player, but he doesn't pitch. we have the best pitcher, but we can't score no runs because we don't have the hitters.
Yeah,
so it's a completely different game.
Now, you said you're senior-oriented. Do you have some younger kids that are going to come back to be a nucleus to kind of lead the way next year?
We have a nucleus of kids that are sophomores, and we kept them on varsity all year, and they trained with us. We sent them down on Saturdays to play the first game of a JV game, but not the second, and they trained with us all year from the very beginning because we saw this happen. It's just we just don't have a lot of juniors, and we got a lot of sophomores. And it's kind of like that, too, for your next class. My eighth grader is going to be ninth graders. There's a lot of them, but there's not a lot of ninth graders. So it's kind of, you know, you're in a high school and you get what you get. It's not like, it's not exactly the college portal yet. have guys that transfer to different things, but a lot of times you just have what you have. And so we've been training those guys and being part of them. And they've been very good because they knew that, you know, they were next and they didn't complain. They got a lot of work. They got a lot of experience, not as much game experience. So, We'll see how they go, but they're very competitive. They, like you said, they're already in summer ball. The day after, they're all up there competing in summer ball. And so we're excited about next season, too. It's going to be different. We don't know what we have yet. We know what we have as far as kids, but, you know, they're going to have to go out there and prove that they can play at that level. And we're going to have to do a lot more games in the fall and a lot more training and just a lot more work to speed up the process.
Well, I know you're ready for it. Bruce, I can't thank you enough. Congratulations. A job well done. 4A state champions. And, you know, we'll see you a lot in the fall.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling me. Thank you.
Anytime. Yeah, anytime. Coach Bruce Avin, head coach at American Heritage Plantation. They are state champions. What a great job. He also does a tremendous job as athletic director over there. I see, like you said, we talk a lot during the football season about baseball. You know, him having played professionally with the Marlins and such. And, it's good to see that.